We've got a lot of ground to cover. Bottom of the hour, Wade Looking Bill will join us. We will recap last night's Iowa's first step in the NIT as they knock off a K-State team.
Sweet 16!
There we go, baby. Will that calm the waters?
Don't think so.
Don't think so either. But nonetheless, Wade Looking Bill will join us. Then Shelby Mast, who's our bracketologist. So a couple of things on Shelby, and we've probably been tardy to put this. We said it before. It's not like it's a secret. But we do get this when we have Shelby on, and he gets accused of, you know, put a slug in the jug. It's 10 minutes before noon. Your guest is already into the alcoholic beverages. Shelby had a stroke. And that is the reason that his voice inflection is the way that it is. He's good at what he does, as this year's bracket would attest to. Bracket Matrix corrected all of the bracketologies. How many are there?
I think Bracket Matrix had 130-ish, something
Shelby,
in that range.
Shelby finished sixth.
That's good.
Sixth.
Yeah.
We love having Shelby Mast on, and we will continue to do so next year. But we want to have him on and just get his thoughts on how the committee did. Boy, after last night, there's a lot of folks that don't think the committee did maybe as well as previous years, with the fact that Virginia, that was hard on the ice.
It was
incredibly, I mean, just awful. Thank God Iowa played at the same time.
Yes.
So you didn't have to be, in your chair watching that disaster that unfolded. So we'll talk to Shelby Mast, and then in the 12 o'clock hour, we'll start things off with Adam Ebenecker. GMIG sponsors Adam, as they have all season long. We'll preview the Drake-Washington State game, how Drake got there, what they've been doing between them cutting down the nets in St. Louis, and to this point here today as they headed over to Omaha yesterday. Their open gym. Iowa State's is 245. Drake's is 330, I want to say, today.
Okay.
But that will take place the mid-afternoon, late afternoon. If you're headed over there, you can head over to the facility, and they just open up the doors. It's free to get in. You can watch the open practice. But Clones 245 and Drake 330 or thereabouts. Then we'll talk to Bill Seals on Iowa State. He'll be headed over there, maybe on his way, when we catch up with Bill Seals, CycloneReport.com, part of the Rivals Network. And then David Kaplan in his normal spot, talking Chicago sports with Cappy. We'll do that at 12:30. Centurion Stone of Iowa sponsors Cappy on a weekly basis. Trent's plays of the day before he gets out of here, or before we get out of here, just before one. Circus Sports sponsor those. I know you had some winners. How'd you do yesterday?
5-1.
Pretty good day. You had more winners than I remembered. Who did you miss? K-State.
K-State.
Yeah.
Was the only one. Of course, Bowenkamp was giving me crap about that one. Well, yeah. Guess what? If I get one wrong and I get five right every day.
And if you're going to get one wrong, that,
I'm not going to be hanging out with you.
That's true.
If I can hit an 83% clip on a daily basis.
Yeah.
I am not living here.
No, you're living in Las Vegas.
Yes.
Nonetheless, if you were going to miss one yesterday, I'm guessing that would be the one.
The emotional hedge,
you would
right?
get wrong, as Iowa took it to. We'll get into that in just a second, because this is such a special time of year, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're a college, in this case, basketball fan, you live for this time of year. You love football when it returns in the fall and getting together with your friends and your family and doing the tailgating thing and seeing some of your classmates or people that you grew up with that root for the Hawks or root for the Clones or the Panthers, whoever your taste is in college sports. Yesterday was just one of those days on a couple of fronts. We know that it certainly seems like the ACC is about to implode, with two of the heavy heads leading the way as they want out. But then the news yesterday, the Caden Proctor news that came out, and hats off to the Morning Rush for having Brad Heinrichs on this morning. Well done out of the fellas in the morning. Getting a lot of feedback and a lot of buzz for that. In fact, Dan Patrick's talking about it. KXNO's getting some publicity, national publicity, which was good to hear this morning as that played in the background of the studio as I got in a little bit early. But it's just the whole thing about the collectives, and they're here to stay, and I hope. Here's my question, Trent, when it comes to Brad Hunt. Do you know him, by the way? Have you ever met him?
I have, yes. I met him once.
So there's a fire in his kitchen.
Yes.
Why would he let it burn until this morning?
How so?
Why wouldn't he come out and say anything last night? Because what he said on the radio today was, you know what, this isn't as bad as it looks.
Right.
That this wasn't money out of the fan base that is chipping in your 10, your 15, your 100, whatever you can afford.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people that will never will or grudgingly will dip into their pockets. And I think in some cases are looking for an excuse because they don't like college athletes' scholarships good enough.
Right. There's a lot of people that are still
there. A lot of people that are out there and will always have that take.
Even in a $1 billion industry.
Absolutely. And you have to keep up with the Joneses because this is the lay of the land. Mm-hmm. Like it or not, it's here. It's here. But so he's got a 5-alarm fire because it hits the fan. Caden Proctor got $100,000 of our money, our hard-earned money, put it in his pocket. We can't get this back. He's going back on his commitment to play at the University of Iowa. Our money is gone. How many times did you hear that last night?
A lot. Iowa got more NCAA violations than practices from Caden Proctor.
A lot. Heard it a lot last night. Brad Heinrichs got that fire burning. He could jump on Twitter and say, no. I'll explain in the morning. It's not what it seems. Why did he sit on it?
I don't know.
Behind it?
I don't think there's... I think you're digging here.
No, I'm not, Trent. I'm not digging because he had 12 hours to throw a little water, even if it's a little bit of water. Why wouldn't he say a thing last night? And I'm not saying he was working on his story. I know for a fact that they got a significant check to players before spring break. Mm-hmm. Caden Proctor went on spring break with his former Alabama teammates using corporate swarm money. Now, there's two different entities to come to the swarm. But why would Brad Heinrichs, when Rome is burning, he went to the case, got out the fiddle, and just played it till this morning when he went on the morning rush? I don't get the delay. He doesn't need to come out and do an online video or whatever those instant reaction pods. Say something, Brad. You need these people's money. These peoples are up in arms because they're hard-earned money. They thought Caden Proctor pocketed and left town. Say something. That's all I wish he would have done.
Fair enough. It's not a direction that my mind ever went, so I haven't even kind of wrapped my mind around it. Would it have helped?
Yes.
You live on Twitter.
Yes,
that's,
I do.
That's a small population, though. Of the swarm members, how many live on Twitter like you do? I don't know what the percentage is.
I don't know, but I know a lot of people on Twitter that they'll never get another dime from me because my money, and it's not, as we learned this morning.
Right.
It's okay. Your money's still there. Your money's doing what you thought it was, what you were told it's going to do. So why not say that? Even if it's a sentence or two.
Well, and he explained it in an email to all the Swarm members this morning. There was an email that was sent out.
This morning?
Yes, this morning at about 10:30. This was sent out from Brad Heinrichs that said to all the members of the Swarm, mm-hmm. from the low levels that spend $200 a year to mm-hmm. the high level ones.
Right.
Everyone got this email that explained kind of the way that it went. It was not hundreds of thousands of dollars that went to Caden Proctor. That's just gone away. And he explained it. And maybe it's as simple as that. Just, you're right. Could you put at least something out? There's more to the story.
Right.
More information tomorrow. That's fine.
Right.
I think we're not seeing the forest through the trees here, though. I mean, the big picture things. In the grand scheme of things, how many is this going to impact? How many people are actually not going to donate to the Swarm now after they have the whole information?
But
I'm going to guess very few.
Well, the bad information is out there.
Sure.
And there are people that won't see that email, or there are people that did not hear the morning rush. Find that hard to believe.
But every Swarm member will get that email.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody's on Twitter.
True, but then why did he wait 12 hours to send me this email? In this case, he waited about 14, 16 hours to send me this email. I just think that if you're a person who is not all for writing this check, knows you have to do it because I'm a black and gold fan, I love my Hawks, why wouldn't you put something out yesterday? That's all I'm saying. I think that this could have got, he could have changed the narrative because last night, up until he appeared on the radio this morning, what time? 7? I don't know what time it is. 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock this morning when he was on the morning rush, the narrative was, my Swarm money's walking out the door in Caden Proctor's pocket, and my hard-earned money that I reluctantly and don't want to send to the Swarm is in Caden Proctor's pocket. This SOB just took my money and made off and did not play for my squad.
But after a chance to find out the real information, you find out that's not the case.
Some will come back, but some won't.
I don't think that is a huge percentage. But
aside,
I think we're arguing semantics that in the grand scheme of things don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
What does matter here is this system is absolutely broken. This thing has been broken for years. We have had a quarter century to know that we are trending to the level that we are today. And the NCAA, instead of doing anything, it was a good old boys network. This is something that I was derided for years as the old presidents, the old NCAA presidents that they continue to pile up there, guys that are at the end of their career. They're not forward thinking. They're forward thinking for their last checks.
Right.
That's what they're thinking about.
Right.
And they're not going to rock the boat. They're not going to fix a sport that is hurting in a major way. Mm-hmm. Fix an association that is hurting in a major way. And when you do that, you're left where we are today, where all they have is, Congress, can you bail us out? Mm-hmm. Can you help us out? That's all they have. Yep. When it went to the Supreme Court, and Supreme Court came back and said, you guys are idiots. You can't do this. What you're doing is wrong, and we're not going to help you. They don't have any recourse because there's never been somebody forward-thinking in the roles of president of the NCAA. The member institutions have screwed this up, and this is where we are today. There are no rules.
Nope.
There are absolutely no rules. Caden Proctor, you can do this. Yep. We see high school kids that demand to take a visit, a check, just to take a visit to your school. This mm-hmm. happens across the country, and this is where we are. It is a broken system, and they have no recourse because they had nobody forward thinking. Caden Proctor, hey, get that bag, man.
Yeah.
That's the society that we are allowing to go right
he
now.
He got by.
Take advantage of
it. Caden Proctor got by.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be a lot more that are going to be taking advantage.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think that, well, if this doesn't, and this might be just a finger in the dike, right? This is what we're asking somebody to do. But I have to believe what Caden Proctor did. Caden Proctor is going to be a poster boy for when this changed. I want to believe that. Am I naive to believe that? Maybe so. But for him to pull what he did and to go to take the money, and it was from a corporation. I don't know if it was a show up and read books to kids or color, whatever it was, but there was some charity involved. They all got the check. The checks were a little bit late. They had to delay spring break. I even got that little detail of the nugget. But when they got the check, they cashed the check and off they went to spring break. So Proctor takes his money from the corporate arm of the Swarm, goes hangs out with his former Alabama teammates, comes back and says, you know what, I'm going back to Alabama.
Very odd.
Really odd.
Very odd. Also, seeing Caden Proctor at a number of games. I talked to a number of people at a couple of Iowa basketball games, a wrestling meet. Went there alone. Now
he did?
Yes. Three different events that some of my friends, my tailgate group was at. That he was at the game.
None of the other offensive linemen were there?
By himself. Not even somebody he went to high school with. Not a girl. Not a guy. Not a buddy.
Where's Wonka?
Wasn't there. At least those three instances. Odd, right?
They played high school sports together.
Thought they were boys.
Yes.
Maybe Xavier just didn't want to go to the game.
Maybe he's studying, Trent.
Right. Yeah, right. That's something, too. There's that part of it, but odd. And then on the eve of the opening of spring practice, I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
Got a text message from a member of the football team. And said that Caden had left the group chats. This was at about 3:30 yesterday afternoon. He had left all the group chats and texted one of the kids also in that class, in Caden Proctor's class, not Wampa, but another one, another offensive lineman, and just said, I'm out. And that was it.
That was it?
That was it.
That was the first inkling they had. When did he tell the coaching staff?
I would guess that afternoon. Wow. Now, was it he's being pressed harder? He's not being coddled in the way that he thought maybe he would? I know this is just speculation, but there's been plenty of questions about that.
Does he like sports?
Was this all a ruse? Where he came up with this idea and with the ability to transfer freely, I'm going to go make a little money here, go back home, and go that route. There's a lot of questions, but this is incredibly odd at the very least.
Timing-wise. We're on the eve of the NCAA tournament, and this is dominating the conversation.
Yeah.
This is what pisses me off, maybe more than anything.
This is an Iowa story, but this is also a national story.
No, it is, Trent. I would hate to be a Brent Bloom, a Brad Heinrichs, whoever those people are throughout college athletics here today, because they're having to answer this question. What guardrails do you have in place when I send my money to Gatorswarm.com or Husk, whatever? Fill in the blank, right? By the way, how about Troy Dannon?
Yeah.
Troy Dannon was in Washington for weeks, not months, not years, weeks. I bet he hasn't even unpacked all the boxes. We'll save that for later. But good for Troy. I'm glad he's back in the Midwest. He's a good dude. I like Troy Dannon. Back to where we were going, though. But if you're in the collective world today, your job got harder. Because you're going to have to field a lot more emails, phone calls, texts, whatever, to try and talk some people. Try and inform some people who may have heard what's going on, you know, with their Big Ten brethren or their rival in Iowa or wherever they're going to have to, you know, make it clear that this won't happen with us.
Easier said than done.
It is easier said than done.
Because it's something where you cannot, these are not employees.
Do you think Brent Bloom had anybody reaching out to him yesterday?
Oh, I'm sure.
I'm sure he did.
Yes, absolutely. What do we have in place?
And I use him because he's the only one I know.
Right.
Right.
But what do we have in place to make sure this doesn't happen to us where we don't have that?
Yep.
You can't do anything. They're not employees.
This was a bad 12 hours for the Swarm, even if it wasn't their fault.
Mm-hmm. Well, it wasn't.
And it wasn't, but it was a bad 12. That goes back to my original point. He had an opportunity. Tap the brakes, folks, is not what it seems like. That's all you needed to say. And I think some people would have, let's just wait till the morning or blah, blah, blah. I want to hear from him. I wish he would have. That's, well, I'll leave it at that. Let's go to the Hawks on the hardwood. Are you done with the story? You
had enough of
it? It's not over.
It's not over. Right. It's not over.
But let's do what we love to do, and that's talk about the games and the athletes that play them. Where did this come from last night? And you know what? The more I see Peyton Sanford, the more I'm starting to worry.
There's going to be a couple of NBA teams that say, you know what, young man? With that quick shot, we think that...
AJ Green's making some significant money in the league. I didn't think he would.
Right. And there he is, and he got a good two-way contract initially, and it's continued, and he's played a multitude of games. I think that's a fair point, and something, at least last night, I didn't think of. Because
good God, he was good.
He was great early on. Yeah. Had some big shots in the second half. And
he set the tone, Trent, is what he did, I thought.
Really, my biggest takeaway, though, as good as Sanford was...
was the Georgia game would never end?
Well, we had ESPN News.
We did, thankfully, yeah.
So we were good at getting that thing started over there. For the people that don't have ESPN News, though...
Yeah, you were a little peeled.
Then you open up your app, okay, can I get it on? Right, flip it. It's a disaster. But that aside, was Ben Krecky.
Yes.
Who's been brutal.
Yes, he has.
He has been awful. And he was brutal in the first half. But in the second half...
Well, when they kind of changed up, when Tang came up with the second half to shut down Sanford, or not shut him down, but tried to, you know, limit his scoring abilities, Krecky took over.
He absolutely did. He got to the rim. A lot of great back cuts. Yeah. They were overplaying that, and when they were overplaying, he was able to get to the rim. That was really good to see. Knocked down that corner three. Hasn't made a ton of them this year. Hasn't taken a ton. He was a good shooter, though, for a big guy, and able to do that. But after... as poorly as he played, as poorly as the senior class played against Illinois,
I agree, Trent.
To have that kind of feeling, you're going to Utah, we'll see, there possibly could be another game at Carver.
We talked about it since the Illinois game. That you hate to have that, the lasting memory of leaving the floor at Carver, because they were bad. Yesterday they were good. All of them. Patrick McCaffrey did some good things. Perkins did some good things. Krecky in particular. I mean, two double-doubles. How many times this year did Krecky and Sanford double-double in the same game?
Not very many.
I'm guessing, right?
Well, I think Krecky overall this season maybe had four games of double-doubles, something like that. So, yeah, it didn't happen when it did maybe one other time this season. You mentioned Tony Perkins, too. He's not right physically.
Yeah, I don't think so. There's something there. I agree.
We're not seeing the same kind of explosion out of him, and that's what's such a huge part of his game, ability to get to the second level, elevate with that shot. It just doesn't there. I know he's got a kind of a sleeve down on his calf. Is there something going on? I don't know what it is. He's not right.
That's new. I didn't notice that. That's new. Okay.
And even in that, still not shooting well, have 8 assists, be able to impact the game. I thought he was good defensively. There was a sequence, middle of the second half, maybe... I don't know, first 5 minutes of the second half, it was a scramble situation. Iowa was all out of sorts. K-State was moving the ball incredibly well, yet Iowa was closing out hard. It's that tough scramble situation where even good defensive teams, when you kind of get in that spot, and they were aggressive, and they were making the right plays, and yeah, they still gave up 82 points in the game, and were great defensively, but there were moments. There was some juice
there. It's a good K-State team, Trent. I mean, it's not
talented.
A bad team. They've got some dudes in the nation's toughest conference. K-State beat a Kansas team. They beat an Iowa State team. They've taken some scalps. This was a good win for the Hawks, any way you cut it. You know what we didn't mention yet? Owen Freeman. I didn't play a ton, but boy, when he was on the floor, he was a difference maker.
You know,
they couldn't do anything with him down low.
With Freeman, too, there are a couple times, ball got poked out of there.
Down low, yeah, when you bring it down, yeah.
He's another guy that seems like he's kind of dragging here at the end of the year, that freshman wall that we've talked about. We've seen those moments where he just was a little more tattered at the end of the year, and that'll get better, obviously, as he continues to improve and get stronger and do those kind of things. But did you see the little note? Who he's going to be working out with this summer?
No, I didn't.
Luca and Frank Garza.
Is that right?
Is that beautiful or what?
Well, it certainly worked for Luca.
Yes, it did.
How did he play last night? I know that he had I think he was guarding Jokic.
Oh, really?
I believe so. Denver was in town. And is Gobert out? Or I don't know, but apparently he was because he was trending on Twitter, and I clicked on it last night.
I just saw the Timberwolves. I didn't watch a minute of it. Yeah. I just saw they lost and just saw the highlights last night. Let's see. What did Luka do last night? Luka!
How many minutes did he play? Did he start?
He did not. He played 22, though. 11-6. Wonder what his plus minus was. Minus 3. Not bad.
Yeah, going up against the MVP.
That's not too shabby. Joker had 35-16.
Well, he does that every game. It doesn't matter who's guarding him, right?
Only 2 assists, though.
There you
maybe
go.
Maybe it's that great Luka defense.
Maybe it is. They'd learn playing for Fran McCaffrey. I had never seen where the McCaffrey's family sits until last night. And it's
Thing
Caitlin Clark was sitting with him because, good God. Her and Connor and Mrs. Margaret McCaffrey, and that had to be a sister beside her, but they were on TV a bunch, weren't they?
They were.
And why wouldn't they promote Caitlin Clark?
Well, and not only that, you only had 4,500 people to shoot to,
so. Fair. Is that what the number was, 4,500?
4,500. That was the official box score last night.
Well, there was nobody in behind the baskets, but for the Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, that's not awful.
It's fine.
It's fine, right?
You know, I remember one year in the NIT, I think this was the Alford era. Well, it had to be the Alford era. They had to play, they wanted somebody to play an NIT game on Monday. And Iowa said, we'll do it.
On Monday?
On Monday. ESPN wanted to put a game there. They played Valpo. And it was the same kind of thing. Now, at the time, it was unheard of to have that kind of attendance for an Iowa basketball game.
Yeah, it was 15,500 every night.
It was. And even when it wasn't a full building, there's still 12,000 in there.
Mm-hmm.
Bad attendance, maybe 10 with bad weather, still people would be able to find their way there. We're talking about a completely different era, and I get that. But I think there was like 3,000 in the building. That was the paid attendance for that one, for that Monday night. And think, well, that'll never happen again. Well, here we are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we go back to the Nebraska game with the bad weather earlier this season. What was the ticket count?
Oh, see, that was on. No, I was on vacation. That was Friday night. That was the
guys
got clobbered.
Yes, absolutely. Uh-huh. And I want to say, because John Steppy with the Gazette had the actual scanned ticket numbers that came out about a month ago, and it was like 1,200,
yeah,
something like that.
I'm not surprised.
Well, good for them. To the building, the 1,200 that they're.
They live close to, apparently.
Walking distance, maybe.
Yeah.
That were able to get there on that front. But great win. Yep. Now Utah.
Did you watch any of the
I did.
I watched quite a bit of the first half.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough matchup.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a difficult matchup. They're going out playing in altitude. That'll be another angle to look there.
2 7-footers on the floor at the same time.
Iowa can go big against them, though, but they're a team that shoots the ball really well from the outside. It's kind of as simple as that. 3-point variance. If Iowa shoots it well, Utah doesn't, Iowa can win that game. If it goes the other way, probably going to lose it by 7-8 points. Ken Pom has Utah favored by 4
that
in
many.
The game.
Well, if they play like they play last night, I'm talking about the Hawks, they'll be in this game. And well done for them as they continue down their path. They get to play an extra game, so we're all for that, right? We're all for that. We will speak with Wade Lookingbill. More on that coming up here in just a second. He'll join us about 11:30. Wade Lookingbill will be here. Shelby Mast, our bracket guy. Well done, Shelby. What did you say, 140 or 160 brackets?
It's a big number. I think 130, something like 123. For some reason sticking out in my mind. It's a lot.
He finished 6th. That's pretty well done. Let's get Thomas in here before we move on. Thomas, welcome to Miller and Condon on 106.3 KXNO. How are you?
Good, guys. Hey, chiming in on the Proctor thing, and maybe I'm just a stupid old man thinking about the educational side of this, but how can he possibly be eligible with
at Alabama
credit? Yes, transferring credits, student athlete. He's bounced around. There's no way he could have been enrolled at classes. That used to be something that was required as a student athlete. Is that just no longer a requirement?
You know, that's a really good question, Tommy, because classes have already obviously all started in Alabama. That's a good question. Now, he was given the extra transfer because Saban left.
Right, yes. He had the window, so he was able to do it.
Yeah, the transfer portal reopened.
And
I
classes
don't know
had already started at Iowa when he made his way there, but you can still get into classes. Another thing that you have to remember, you can do a lot more with correspondence classes. There's a lot more online that can be done, those kind of things.
So he'll head there, and he'll sign up for school at Alabama right away, too, and he'll be fine to play.
Yeah, he can take summer classes.
Okay.
Probably catch up on that front.
I guess there's your answer, Thomas. Appreciate the call. Oops, sorry about that.
Yeah, so. But it is funny. Thomas brings up, I think, a really good point.
Mm-hmm.
When's the last time we've had a guy academically ineligible? You obviously remember the Drake team in the early 2000s, yes. And they were decimated and still made a run and at least got to the top half of the MVC that year.
It used to be something you watch for around bowl games.
Oh, absolutely, yes. I don't remember one this year.
Jesus, Trent, that's a great point. I never even thought about that. There has to have been some.
Well, I'm sure there are, but it's just, it used to be a thing. Byron Hansbord, a 0.00 GPA, getting ready to play Iowa in the Alamo Bowl.
Yeah. Wade Looking Bill coming up. Miller and Condon, it's a Wednesday. We appreciate you being here. Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Condon, welcome back. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Shelby Mast, our bracketologist. What'd the committee get right? What'd they get wrong? What'd Shelby get wrong? He's bracket finished sixth overall at Bracket Matrix. Pretty well done. So we'll have Shelby on. A couple of reasons. I want to thank him as much as anything for what he does for Trent and I throughout the Tuesdays, throughout January, February, leading up to Selection Sunday. Wade Looking Bill's very good to the program himself as he talks Hawks, and he's with us here this morning to recap last night. Wade, good to see. Boy, the squad came out. They wanted to be there. There's not the case they didn't. They just took it to them right off the jump. Peyton Sanford got going, kind of set the tone. It was good to see Wade Looking Bill.
It was. It was just a fun basketball game. You know, I think with that NIT crowd, it's almost more of a general admission crowd. So you had fans that really wanted to be at the game, closer to the floor. I don't know what the attendance was, but at least it was. I think it showed pretty well on TV, and a win's a win.
Win's a win, and they did it behind, of course, a great performance out of Peyton Sanford. But that big Cricky got going in the second half, really scoring both from the outside and the inside, getting to the rim there. It's been a frustrating, I'd say, last month for Ben Cricky, but he got it going there, and it's good to see. And potentially his final game at Carver-Hawkeye Arena, unless they get a game in the quarterfinals that goes their way if the bracket plays out in that fashion. After the bad taste
so
after the Illinois
game.
Hang
on, can I stop you for a second? So if they beat Utah?
Possibly. Has to be an upset on the top half of the bracket in order for that to happen. But it still could happen. That aside, though, Ben Cricky, your thoughts on his performance last night and getting that bad taste of the Illinois game out of the mouth for the seniors.
Yeah, he had been struggling. Peyton has been terrific the last 6 weeks, almost 2 months. But Ben's been struggling. He was really good early on, and then I think the scouting report kind of got out on him. But he scored 2,000 points in his college basketball career. I mean, he's a good player.
Yeah.
He's just kind of in that, he's not really a four, not really a five, can't really step out and shoot it, so you're kind of limited. But, you know, he had, 23 points the second half, and he was terrific. You know, kind of on both ends of the court, they just got to get five or six rebounds out of him every night. And if he can score like he did last night, they can keep playing through March for a while.
Is Peyton Sanford going to keep playing for Iowa? I was starting to think.
The
way he's
that was
playing.
My thought. What do you have? 17 points in 8 minutes.
Yeah, I mean he went crazy.
He's going to test the waters. I think I don't know what he's going to do, but if that's me or if that's my son, I say, hey, let's go because it's free of charge. You don't lose any eligibility or anything. Go see what the scouts have to say. I think, you know, if you look at, say, Joe Wieskamp's career, you know, Joe came out after his junior year, was, the 47th player taken in the draft, which is kind of where, if Peyton would get drafted, where he is. And Joe's kind of, he's floating around trying to find a place, you know? So I don't know if that helps Peyton's decision or hurts it. You know, I saw Sam Hauser last night had 8 trays. I think that's kind of the type of player Peyton could be. I think the one thing that really would help him is he wants to come back and play with his brother. I think Price is a really good player. I think he's going to have a huge year next year. I think that's the one thing that I would say Price should be playing more. I think Price is really good. But, Peyton, you know, I think he'll come back. But, you know, when he's scoring 17 points in 8 minutes, I thought, well, I wish he kind of slowed down a little bit. So he doesn't keep going up the draft boards. But I'm just happy that he's at Iowa and finishing his career. And if that's his last game ever, last night in Carver-Hawkeye Arena, he went out with a win and played really well.
Big offseason ahead, regardless of when it ends for Deje Mbale. Mbale, we've seen Mbale this year. you see those glimpses. You see those little things. Now, you look at the metrics. They're not great. Offensive rating is very low, certainly for a Fran McCaffrey coach player, one of the lowest that we've seen out of a even quasi-regular. What needs to be done with him this offseason to untap what seems like a great potential for him going forward?
Yeah, I think he's got a chance. I think it's the same thing every... So, to when you transition from high school to college, the closer you play, I'm sorry, the farther away you play from the basket, the easier it is, right? Because you can go out and shoot threes. Nobody's beating on you. Nobody's banging on you. But once you go down low, you've got Dane Danger banging on you. You got those bigs from Michigan State. Michigan's got size. It's different. And I think he's kind of wore out. To me, I think he needs to get in a little better shape. He's got that big body and that big backside. I think he can get in a little better shape. His shot looks pretty good. You know, he can stretch it out a little bit, but he's going to have to play a huge role for this team next year. You know, does he slide in and start next year at the four? Possibly. It just, there's so many moving parts. What's Tony Perkins going to do? What's Patrick McCaffrey going to do? Peyton's got decisions. It's a Wild West. Again, you see that verbal commit thing on Twitter, that account, and every day more people are leaving. I'm sure Kansas State has guys today that are probably going
to be better so.
Because they got beat last night.
Yep, probably so. Do you think Owen Freeman's hit kind of a wall, Wade?
I think he did earlier. I remember my freshman year. It's a long year. Practice is long, and again, you're getting beat on maybe a little bit. You know, he hasn't been as explosive as he has been. It's hard for a 6'10", 230-pound kid to go up and down that floor over and over and over and over again. It wears on you. But he still, you know, he had 10-5 last night, 10-6, and he's going to have a big year next year. You know, it's just he's got to improve his shot a little bit. He's got to stretch it out a little bit, at least to 12 feet, 15 feet. But I think, again, that scouting report, people got some looks at him. You know, don't let him rim run. Don't let Brock Harding throw that lob at the rim. But he's still had a heck of a year. But yeah, he probably is a little tired. I think so.
When you kind of look at the future and what's coming in, J.R. Koch's son, Cooper, will be coming in next season. They got a really athletic defender in Chris Tajo that'll be making his way to campus. But they're going to be doing some shopping. You know, what do you think that I was going to be looking for in the portal? You mentioned still depends on Tony Perkins if he's going to come back for another season. We know Cricky can't. Looks like Patrick doesn't look likely on that front. What do you think that Iowa needs to shop for in the portal next season?
They got to get a rebounder. They got to get 6'9". They got to get a dude. They got to get a guy that just wants to rebound. That's where they, you know, when they struggled against Illinois, against, you know, even Wisconsin with their size, they just got out-rebounded bad. Even last night, I think they broke even on the glass. It was a weird game last night. So many turnovers, but they got to get somebody that's going to get you 9 rebounds a game. But then there's 20 other programs throughout the country, maybe 40 programs that are trying to do that same thing. So it's hard, but they got to get somebody that can rebound the basketball on a regular basis, 8 to 12 boards a game, night in and night out, because that's the one thing when they were winning, when they were losing, it was always a battle on the glass, and that's the one thing they really got to find next year.
Wade, listening to Jess Settles last night struck me. Did your careers cross, or were you gone before he got there? You might have just missed him, did you?
So Jess was a senior in high school when I was a senior in college,
okay.
So we did not overlap. But I know Jess real well.
Yeah, he's so good at what he does, I think. Do you find him the same way? I mean,
I like him.
I'm with you, right?
I think, you know, he's not Robbie Hummel, but he's not far from there. He's that same era. You know, Robbie's a little younger, and Robbie had more of a national presence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he played in the NBA for a minute, was drafted. But Jess is good, and he's done a lot of games. And, you know, if you want to travel and do, you know, he's got a future for sure.
Yeah, I'm with you.
A lot of travel that's involved, too. I got to do a couple of games last season and this season with his wife. Down at the state basketball tournament. Yeah.
She's great.
Yeah,
she's
she really
player.
Is.
Yeah.
And you can hear it's funny too when you talk to married couples or hear married couples.
Yeah.
A lot of the same kind of mannerisms, a lot of the kind of talking.
It's
really, really cool and doing a great
Jess's
job there.
Jess's mom, I can't think, well, you know, they're like George Kittle's cousins.
Cousins, yeah.
Whole relationship thing. But Jess's mom is one of 10 girls. They have 10 girls in that family. I think Jess has 3 girls or 4. No boys. But, yeah, that's awesome.
As we're kind of going back in time with you, my final thing for you, Bruce Pearl. He was an assistant coach while you were there.
Yeah.
Now, we know what a character he's gone into. We know, obviously, the storyline at the end with Deion Thomas and the Chevy and waving the keys at him as he made his way into Carver-Hawkeye Arena back there late 80s into the early 90s. What was he, though, as an assistant coach? I mean, was he the same kind of goofy character that he's grown into here today?
Bruce is awesome. He was awesome. Motivating. You know, at that time, well, you know the story how he got to be with Tom Davis. He was the mascot. He was the Boston College Eagle mascot. And Coach Davis noticed at games at Boston College, there's this crazy guy who was a mascot. Now, Bruce would also come to practice and watch and take notes, but Coach liked his enthusiasm as the mascot, got to know him, became a grad assistant, and you know, now he's coaching in Auburn. Hey, Bruce is great. Bruce is great. He is a motivator. He knows the game. He's a salesman. And he's done an outstanding job at Auburn. Now, Bruce, again, you know, times have changed. And obviously, he's broken some rules, definitely bent some. But as far as the X's and O's, he's really good. And as a recruiter, he's great. And that's why you see Auburn on a roll. You know, they won the SEC conference championship, and nobody wants to face them here in March. I love Bruce Pearl. He is outstanding.
Who's cutting down the nets? Did you fill out a bracket? Do you fill out a bracket?
I haven't. I've been waiting, man. I'm gonna do it today. You know, so I had Tennessee for a minute. I really like them. I know Rick Barnes has not had a great run in the tournament. I don't think UConn can repeat. I just think it's too much pressure. I don't think the Big East is great.
Yep.
You know, some of those teams, DePaul is horrible. Some of those Big East teams are horrendous.
Georgetown?
I've been saying Tennessee for a month. I'm going to stick with Tennessee. I'll work through my bracket today and see what comes out, but I think Tennessee's going to win it.
Good stuff. Wade, we're not done with you yet. We'll speak with you next week, okay, at some point, whether we look ahead
like
or
that.
We're still talking about an NIT advancement in this tournament. Wade, thank you. Enjoy the opening weekend of the tournament. Thank you, Wade Looking Bill.
Thanks, guys. Yes, yeah. Take care. Thank you.
Good to talk to you. I love going back. I'm so glad you asked that question about Pearl.
Yes.
That's really good. Really good. Just a little insight what he was like. You know, I think I'd heard the mascot story, but I'm not sure I remembered it.
Yeah.
That's wild, right? Tom Davis notices the mascot.
That guy has won everywhere he has been. He had to go to purgatory. He had to go to D2.
Yeah,
he was untouchable at the D1 level.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't do anything, quote unquote, wrong. He was just trying to get somebody in trouble.
Yeah.
Cheating Jimmy Collins.
Yeah.
And people inside the industry did not like that.
No,
That's how it's done.
Nope.
And he took Southern Indiana to a national championship. Yeah,
but enough time has passed.
Yes.
For
one
sure.
in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
One in Tennessee. One at Auburn. These are not basketball hotbeds.
No.
And he built them into what they are.
No, that's very true. They play a little football at Tennessee and Auburn, right? We'll take a timeout. Shelby Mast, our bracketologist, will join us, bracketwag.com. We'll say farewell to him and thank him for what he did for us. He joins us next. Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Shelby Mast in just a second. Caleb Williams' Pro Day is going on as we speak.
Yes.
You know who showed up to watch? This should warm your heart.
Jim McMahon.
Keenan Allen is there.
Yes, sir.
He wants to be a Bear. He's glad he's a Bear. He needs a quarterback. He's going to get one. Let's get to Shelby Mast. We needed a bracketologist, and we're glad we found this one, bracketwag.com, bracketwag.com. Shelby, there's a whole bunch of you bracketologists out there. You each and every day are up at bracketmatrix.com. That's the clearinghouse, I guess, that keeps tabs on what you guys are doing. And of the 100-something bracketologists, your bracket tied for 6th best. Well done, Shelby Mast. Thanks for coming on. How are you?
Good. Yeah, I'm doing good. I made my day.
I bet it did. Where were you wrong, Shelby? Before we get into what the committee did wrong, where did your bracket, bracketwag.com, what was your What would you do over? Or what did you, what did the committee do that said, okay, yeah, maybe I should have done that? What was that, Shelby?
Well, I had Oklahoma in the play-in game, and I didn't feel comfortable about it, but I had Virginia out, and I stand by that. Virginia was not deserving at all, and the committee needs to go back to using the eye test just a little bit so they get a feel for these teams, because that team was not good.
It was a crazy weekend of the conference tournaments. We had all the upsets that were happening, and with it, the bid thieves that were there, five of them in total, a number that had been surpassed over the last 5 years combined. How much difficult does that make that for you, putting it together? But for the committee, hey, they've gotten a lot of arrows, including right here in this program as we kicked off the show on Monday, and I went hard after this committee. But how much more difficult does it make it when you have those bid thieves?
It does make it difficult, but then again, it kind of makes it easy because you don't have to wonder if NC State's going to get in with their middling record.
Mm-hmm.
They're in. So you put them in and move a team out that's an iffy team. And so we had a lot of that. And it was just a matter of getting the right teams out.
Shelby, was there ever a time after Iowa State throttles Houston the way that they did? There was a lot of national college basketball talking heads, for lack of a better term, that thought that, you know what, Iowa State's going to be that fourth one, that they're going to shock the world and be one of the one seeds. Well, as we come to find out, they were the last two seed, for crying out loud. Where did you have them, and did you ever think that there was a possibility after Saturday that Iowa State would hear their name called as a one seed?
I did not think so. I wouldn't have necessarily been surprised, but I felt that the committee dinged them on the reveal because not having them on the two line because of their non-conference, and the committee chair verified that, and that's why they stayed on the two line. I had them as sixth overall. The committee saw them as eight. That's not too bad, but their non-conference strength of schedule got them.
And that's something that historically has been an issue that the committee, when we're kind of looking at those historical trends, non-conference strength of schedule, argue against it or argue for it, it's just the reality, something there. What else do you kind of every year need to remind yourself when we're putting these things together? Is there a thing you get the big bracket in front of you and say, of course they did this because this is what they always do? Are there any of those other tenets that are a part of it each and every year for you?
One thing for me that I have tried to follow every year, and I didn't this year because I felt good about it, the Mountain West Conference.
Mm.
Pretty much any mid-major conference, everybody is seated two spots lower than where I think. And it doesn't matter whether they've earned it, a higher seed or not, they're going to put them down. They'll say lack of competition or whatever, and it's really not the case. I think it's just that they're, most of them, especially the Mountain West, on the West Coast, and those guys are in bed. They don't get to see them.
That's true. Last thing for me, Shelby. So go back to Friday, Saturday, before those, you know, became official that bids were going to be stolen. Did you have Indiana State in the last couple of days leading up to Sunday?
I had them in until I think North Carolina State's the one that knocked them out for me. And I didn't want to do it, but I felt the committee would do it, and I was right there.
A couple of things that frustrated me with the bracket. Duquesne, you had a 12. I had more 13 range. Did they even do any work on Duquesne after they won the A-10 championship, or did they just think it was going to be VCU and gave them that spot? Because it is incredibly difficult for me to put them at an 11 line. And that also New Mexico. It looks like they were out of the bracket if they didn't win the Mountain West. Is that fair on those two?
Yeah, Duquesne, I think they probably had that spot reserved for VCU.
Yes. Easy.
They're doing things, they just put them in there. And New Mexico surprised me. They said they were out if they didn't win. I had them in, and kind of firmly in, but they didn't. Again, they disrespected the Mountain West Conference.
Shelby, on behalf of Trent and our audience that loves college basketball, thank you for joining us every Tuesday, starting about the middle of January. We really appreciate what you do for us, what you bring to the show, Shelby. Look after yourself. Stay healthy. We'll talk to you in January of next year, Shelby Mass. Thank you again.
Thanks. Scott. Appreciate you having me.
Yeah, appreciate you coming on. Shelby Mast, bracketwag.com, sixth best bracket of all the bracketologists. That includes the big ones, Lenardi and Corsi. And
a lot better than those. They're awful every single year.
Yeah.
It's something that kind of drives me crazy is people...
Would you like Lenardi's job?
Yes, I would absolutely love it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would do a better job.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a doubt in my mind I would do a better job. Maybe, well, I'd say I don't got the face for TV, but Joe is not exactly the most handsome man out there either.
He's got a dead squirrel on his top of his head, for crying out loud.
And this hair, it might be gray, but it is all real.
It's yours. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but I have a good friend. That's what he does for a living. He sells them.
That's right, right. Yeah.
I'll give my friend Leon Emmons, Mr. Executive, a plug. He's a good man.
If you're looking for a squirrel on your head.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, he does a little bit better, doesn't he?
Absolutely. He's a pro, Mr. Executive. Hour two, Adam Emenecker, Bill Seals, David Kaplan, three pros join us in hour two.